Hebrews chapter 11, one of these chapters that I think we hear about a lot. This is the faith, the hall of faith, they call it. This is where all the patriarchs, the old believers who set the course are named. We're not going to read all of it, but if you look in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, verse 5, Enoch was translated. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. Amen. Without faith it's impossible. For them that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah. And then verse number 8, by faith, Abraham. When he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out. That's how he obeyed. But then look at this. Not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. God just said, go. Well, where am I going? It's great. You'll love it when you get there. But where is it? You'll be happy when you get there. But what does it look like? You'll see it when you get there. I mean, it reminds you of a kid in the back seat. My kids come to church 4 times a week. And yet, on Highway 59, they'll say, are we close to the church yet? I mean, y'all do this 4 times a week, guys. You know how close we are. Then they'll be going home. They know the way home. And they'll say, are we almost home? Look where you are, guys. We're at the same place every week. Abraham says, God, where is it? He said, I'll show you. Well, what's it like? You'll see it when you get there. And so Abraham just had to trust God. He just had to trust him. You know, the truth is, we don't know where this life will take us. How many of you expected to be where you are now in your life 30 years ago? Nobody, right? He said, how would I have known that? But God has brought us along the way as we trusted him, as we prayed, as we were obedient and diligent. We have reached a point in our lives where we say, I know this is exactly where God wants me. Now, maybe you can't say that today. And if you can't, it's time to find that place. To say to God, I surrender to you. I know you have a plan for my life. You formed me in the belly. Before you formed me in the belly, you had all these plans for me. You know the plans you have for me. Plans for blessing and not for curses. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan. So, God, I surrender to your plan. Whatever it is, whatever that is, I'm surrendered to it. I'm committed to it. I want to do what you want me to do. Why? Because I know that God's plan is greater than mine. God's smarter than we are. And he knows the future. He can see out ahead of what's there. He has that bird's eye view, if you will, of what's coming down the road. And for us to ignore God who loves us and pursue plans that we have developed with our limited knowledge is somewhat ignorant. But Abraham said, I'll go. He obeyed by faith. He just trusted God. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what it was going to be like. But God had told him it's the right thing to do. It's the best thing to do. It's where your whole future is going to be, not just for you, but for all those who come behind you. This is what's best. And he said, okay. And he went, not knowing whither he went. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Well, here's the thing. God will take us down unfamiliar trails. We'll reach points in our lives as we age and we will say, I've never been at this point before. I've never had to experience this before. I've never had to go through this before. And on the other hand, hey, look at what I've experienced now that I haven't all the way up until this day. There'll be unfamiliar places. It says here, it was like a strange country. In fact, it says he dwelled in tents or tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of that same promise. It was building a future for his family. He was building a future for the nation. He was building a future. Of course, how could he have known the fullness of what he was doing but for the birth of the Savior? Can you imagine when Abraham walked through Bethlehem? He walked through that place and of course, where he buried his wife, where he was buried also. And think about that place and how near he was to where the Savior would be born. As he walked in those mountains and hills that Jesus would walk, he could not know the fullness of what was ahead, but he knew that he had to do his part to get there. We've got to do our part in order for the future to get there. Think of those, you know, the Lentons, the Kinseys, the Hewitts, and they were part of the original plant of this church. And what if they had decided they wouldn't do it? What if there had been some other direction, some other distraction, and they didn't? Could you have known at that point all the people who've walked through those doors and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? All the people who've walked through those Sunday school rooms and heard about Jesus that loved them? All those ones who accepted Christ? All those ones who've been baptized? All those ones who began their service for God in this place? Because you said we're going to an unfamiliar place, we're going to do unfamiliar things, we're going to start something that we hadn't started before. You see, some people have to be the pioneer. Some people have to lead out. Some people have to get it started. Here's Abraham and Ur with his family, his dad and everybody, and he's happy. Life is good. God says, Abraham, I've got some struggles ahead for you because I've got something greater for the future. Something that's big that you can't even imagine, but I'm going to show you the way if you'll go. And what did Abraham do? Well, the Bible says he did it. Like in a strange place. Verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Only being satisfied with that which is established by God. God, I can tell you something. I don't want to go to church if Jesus is not there. I don't want to be part of a church when God doesn't show up on Sunday morning. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad all of y'all showed up this morning. I'm glad there's people joining us online. That's wonderful. But if God doesn't show up, there's no point. There's no value. If God doesn't show up in His presence and in His power, there's no point. So we need God. We need God to establish it. We need God to show us His work. We need God to work through us, but in order for Him to do that, we must surrender. We must obey. And only be satisfied with what God wants. Look at verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So had they been mindful too, they could have been lying on their deathbed thinking, God told me stuff was going to happen and I didn't see it happen. But he says they didn't think that God lied. They didn't accuse God of being dishonest because, look, it says in verse 13, having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. They said, we realize that the promises of God, the fulfillment of those promises of God, are down the road. Bible says there'll be those who accuse us and question us and say, where is the promise of His coming? They'll think it's strange that we don't run with them because they say, look, come with us and let's do whatever we want to do. And we say, no, we're going to live for God. Ah, God, rapture, blah. Y'all know what you're talking about. I've been preaching that for years. I know we're a day closer. We're a day closer. You see, I know that if I get to my deathbed and take my final breath and I haven't been raptured, that doesn't dismiss the fact that the rapture is real. Just means I didn't get taken up in it. I've told you before of my grandmother passing and her best friend said, I'm just mad at God. Why? Because she believed she was going to go in the rapture. I said, she got there anyway. It doesn't matter how she went. I mean, you're going to get to heaven, get to heaven. Who cares if it's a bus, a train, or an airplane? I'm not saying I want to get in a bus crash, but you know what I'm saying. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to go be with God. And there are some things that God has set us on course to establish, to lay the foundation, to lay the path that's not going to come to pass in my lifetime or yours. God has done wonderful things. We named three families out of all those who came together and started this ministry. And those, you know, we couldn't name all the ones who've invested and poured their hearts into it over the years. And maybe some of them walked away thinking it'll never be what we planned. It'll never be the vision that God gave us. But look at what God is doing. Look at what God has done. Won't it be great to have a reunion in heaven, a homecoming in heaven one day of all those who've walked through these doors? I'm only going to be satisfied with what God is doing. And I see His promises afar off. And I'm persuaded, I'm convinced of His promises. And I embrace those promises. That's what He said. Embrace those promises. I've never seen heaven. I've never been to heaven. I've never seen hell. Not going there. But you understand something? Just because I haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not real. And I know, look, there, all those that we love who have walked from this life and stepped over into the next chapter of eternity, we don't see them, we don't hear them, we don't talk to them, but we know where they are and we know we'll see them again by faith. By faith. Living for eternity. You see, Abraham was living for eternity, not for right now, not for what he could put his hands on today, but for what God was promising about eternity. Look at what it says in verse number 14. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Hey, if you didn't like living for Jesus, if you don't like church, you could always go back to the old way. But can I ask you a question? Weren't you trying to get out of the old way when you came to Jesus? Weren't you trying to change things when you came to Jesus? Weren't you trying to improve your life when you came to Jesus? Yeah, we could go back. We could go back into sin, go back into the world. We can quit going to church and lay our Bible on the shelf or give it away to somebody else. Maybe they could use it. We can quit participating and quit ministering and quit caring about anybody else. We could just be selfish to say if it doesn't serve my purpose and my desires, then it doesn't matter. We could do that. What a world we'd have if everybody was selfish. If nobody was living for eternity, if nobody decided to live for God, if no one wanted to share Jesus, the hope and the love and the forgiveness. He said if Abraham and Sarah had been mindful of what they left, they could have gone back. But that's the point, they weren't. There's nothing I've left behind that I want back. There's nothing that I've tossed away when I repented and turned to Jesus that I need back in my life. Because I know this, there's nothing that I need that God can't provide. Everything I need, God can provide. Oh, they could have had opportunity to return, but look at verse 16. They desired a better country. They wanted something more. Let me ask you a question. Those of you who grew up in a different society, a different culture, a different America, really? Don't you wish we could give our children and our grandchildren the kind of upbringing that we had? I was telling the children we were on vacation, I guess it was last week. It seemed like it was years ago. We used to go to the beach and go to the condo and Pompano, we'd go to the beach. And my parents would see me in the morning. And if I got hungry throughout the day, besides that, they never knew where I was. How many of you can relate to that? Yeah, we just went and we just ran off. And I told my children last week, I wish it was that way, but it's not anymore. We can't let our children out of our sight unless they're under somebody else's guardian, protection, security. It's a wicked, nasty world out there. And I'm sad it's that way. But you know what? I desire a better country. I desire a better life for my children. I desire a better life for my grandchildren. I don't have any, but if I ever got any. I desire a better country. I desire a better America. I desire a better, you know, Leon, Jefferson, Wakulla, Cairo, whatever, everybody that's here. I wish that our community was better than it is. And if we'll make a difference, if souls will be saved, you want to change violence? Save souls. You want to change divorce rates? Change souls. You want to change the abuse and the drugs and the alcohol? Change souls. The theft and the murder and the cheating and backstabbing and lying and crookedness. I wish all the politicians would get saved. Right, but how do we do that? We got to start with one. Well, which one do you know? Talk to them about Jesus. That's it. Guys, the problem's not the politicians. If you haven't noticed, they get elected. We put them there. It's on us. We got to get our hearts right and get our churches right and our homes right. We got to get, if we're going to change our country, we've got to start at the guy in the mirror. Abraham desired a better country, a heavenly. You see, he had his mind on heaven. He had his mind on eternity. Let me tell you something. It'd be great if your kid grows up and becomes the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. That's a great team, guys. Really, it is. But what if he goes into eternity without God? We're so focused on the talent that's going to wear out and it's temporary that we miss Jesus. They're on travel ball teams and they got to miss church on Sunday. We're so focused on, well, you know, school starts this week, so we got to miss Sunday and get ready for school. What did you do yesterday? What did you do when you got off work? Guys, we put God in the back and we put everything else in front of God. That's not right. If we desire a better country, we've got to spend some time and invest our lives in making it a better country and pursuing what God has for us. Well, they desired a better country. Verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Why? Why did they leave Egypt? Because they said, it's got to be better than what's here. Now, let me encourage you of this. Sometimes we think that the solution is in another town or another state or maybe even another country, but the solution's not out there. The solution is us changing. If God could have turned Ur into the place where the Savior would come, if that was His choice, Abraham wouldn't have had to go anywhere. But God had a whole land set aside just for that purpose. We got to get our hearts right. We got to get our minds right. It may not be moving across the state or moving across the country. It may be just moving our hearts toward God's direction, letting Him have His way. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, God gave them the most ridiculous plan I've ever heard, right? There's a city, it's got walls around it, and it's fortified, you can't get in there, and so just go and just walk around it once for 6 days. Walked around it, come back. Well, that didn't change anything. Next day, walk around it, come back. That didn't change anything. In fact, I bet by the third day, the Jerichoans were up there going, what are you going to do now? You can't get in here. But on that seventh day, what happened? Walked around it. They said, well, they're not going anywhere. What are they doing? They blew the trumpets and the walls came crashing down. Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. That'll never work. Unless it's God's plan. A man you didn't know when you weren't born left a place you'd never been to, went to another place you've probably never been to, was crucified on a cross, and because he was crucified and rose from the grave, being the Son of God and the perfect Lamb of God, God Almighty, the Creator, will forgive you and me. It's the most ridiculous plan I've ever heard. But it's what saved my soul and saved yours. When you put your faith in God, I know it doesn't make sense that somebody you didn't know could do that for you, but he did. And so you can't work for it, you can't earn it, you can't pay for it. There's no other way to get there. Look at what he says. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So maybe this morning you said this is a ridiculous plan, but in talking about Abraham and all that, you say, I want better in my life. I want to obey God. I want to live by faith. Well, it begins that way, by saying, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for me. And I put my faith in you and ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I don't understand how somebody I didn't know in a place I've never been to could die and forgive my sins and change my eternity, but I trust your plan. And I accept Jesus as my Savior. We've got to put our faith in him, because his way works. It's the only way it works. Would you stand? If you're here this morning and you realize that you have a need of a Savior, you need God to forgive your sins, you don't have to walk down the aisle. From where you are, you could pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give myself to you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, the next step is baptism, where we bury our past in the waters of baptism and we're risen to walk in newness of life. The next step is to become part of God's church. If God's bringing you here, we want you here. If you're not sure, you can wait. But what's God laid on your heart? I don't want you to do anything that's my will. I want you to do only what is God's will. God, I put my faith in you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. God, use this time we have for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. You want me to pray with you? I'll be glad to. By faith. This is your opportunity. Thank you for being here today. Glad you're here. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Y'all believe that's only half the sermon. I didn't even finish it. Anything before we're dismissed? Let's go to the Lord and dismiss with prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?